2 Timothy chapter 1 this morning. Pastor told his congregation a number of times that every blade of grass was a sermon. One day one of his parishioners happened to go by the house and saw the preacher out there mowing the grass, and he stopped in and said, "Cut it short, brother, cut it short." I don't know how we get ourselves into those kind of places, but 2 Timothy chapter 1. Would you bow your head with me as we invite God's help and anointing in this part of the service? Father, so thankful today for your love to us, your ever watchful eye, your guardian strengthening arms. Thank you today for the peace that passeth all understanding. Now, as we look into your word, I pray that you would speak to each one of us through your word and through this unworthy servant this morning. Give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. Give that anointing that is needed both to the speaker as well as to each of us as hearers. It's all for the glory of God, for the upbuilding of your kingdom, that your people would be strengthened and go forth with renewed strength and follow you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How many here this morning are under 25 years old and under? Hands. Well, if you don't want to hands, stand up. I think a large portion of our congregation is 25 years and under. A bunch. Jonathan's 28. Do you remember 9/11 happening? 28. So that, you know, all these people that are 25 and under probably, you know, the 25-year-olds probably don't have really any memory at all. I don't remember too many things that happened when I was 5 years old. They don't have any real recollection of the feelings that seem to sweep across our nation 20 years ago, yesterday morning. They don't have any of that feeling of how fear gripped a nation. There was many Americans that felt fear when Space Shuttle Columbia re-entered the atmosphere and disintegrated, killing all seven of its crew members on February 1st, 2003. But some of us remember that. Some will remember January 28 in 1986 when 73 seconds after launching, the Space Shuttle Challenger exploded while America watched with bated breath. There's few here that would remember when Operation Desert Shield transitioned into Operation Desert Storm in January of 1991. That was America's boys and girls that were over there in that fight. Only a very small handful of people present today remember the day in June of 1944 that changed the course of world history. If today's technology would have been available then, the home front of the United States of America would have been paralyzed with fear, similar to 20 years ago, because it was a tragic day for American lives. We probably don't think as much about it, but it's still a fearful thing gripping the nation when there's an attempt made to take a president's life. I remember that day that there was an attempt made on President Reagan. Your heart nearly stops with that kind of a reality. You know, what's taking place? What's going on? And there was two attempts made on President Ford. I don't recall those. I only read about them. You see, there's fear all around us. From our childhood up, we've had fears of some sort, of some kind. It seems like it's a part of humanity. Problems exist, bad situations take place, and our human response to so many things is fear. Caleb was speaking. I don't remember if he was preaching at church or if he was doing the radio devotions that they did a couple of weeks ago there in Lima, but he was talking about the fear that he had in Evansville of going to sleep at night with those looming trees on the neighbor's property that if they were to fall, could easily fall right down on top of him in his bedroom. Now, what would cause a little boy to have that kind of fear? Well, he experienced, and we saw a tree fall from the neighbors and crashed over onto our side of the fence. While it didn't hit the house, he was smart enough to realize that that tree and that tree and that tree, if it falls the same direction, will hit his bedroom. And he had that fear. You know, we have fears. Sometimes we wish kids had more fears. Jonathan was afraid of the dark, but he wasn't afraid of heights. He was afraid of something that couldn't hurt him, but he wasn't afraid of something that could hurt him. The things that happen and transpire in our lives to cause us to have these kinds of fears about things that happen or things that we think could happen, and we have fear. I don't know that we could describe it any more than by showing pictures of the faces of people in New York City 20 years ago yesterday of how fear can grip people, and it gripped our nation 20 years ago. We as Christians have something that should transcend fear or overcome fear. I wish that, as I look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 here, I would kind of like to be able to telescope into that particular arena of Timothy's life and understand what was taking place, because it seems as though Paul is trying to bolster Timothy. Something is going on in Timothy's life, and Paul is trying to encourage him or bolster his faith and lift him up. If you have your Bible open, follow along in the reading here, beginning with verse number 2. Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Greatly. I hope I can finish this. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. See why I say I'd like to be able to telescope into the circumstances of this man's life. Because Paul is suggesting something here that if we try to read between the lines, we may come up with all kinds of assumptions. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many of you would honestly say, without raising hands this morning, without anything expressed as, for somebody else to know what's going through your mind, would admit this morning that you have had fear? I suppose that there's somewhere along the line we've had some type of fear. Some of it's probably a justifiable fear. Some things it's a good fear. But Paul is talking here about a spirit of fear. Now, we're not real sure if Paul is referring here to a divine spirit or a human spirit. Is he talking about something that comes from the divine, that there would be a sense of fear, or is he talking about a human fear that takes place in the heart? We would probably all, after a little bit of study, probably come to some kind of a conclusion that comes around to the idea that it's human fear that he's talking about. Because he's telling us that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. What are we doing? What are we going to do? Or what should we do when fear tries to grip us? What is our response when fear tries to paralyze us? As followers of God, disciples of Christ, he has given us something to overcome fear, but how do we respond to fear when it happens? It's difficult for us to put ourselves into the shoes, into the place of the stories that are told in the Bible, in the Scriptures. But if it's possible, if you're able to imagine this morning, let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. And try to put ourselves into the shoes or into the circumstances of the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 14 when they had just recently left, made their exodus out of Egypt. There must have been quite a bit of excitement, euphoria going on as they made their way out. They had seen a lot of miracles. They had seen a lot of great things that God had done. They had personal experience. And they were heading out. They were moving on. Exodus 14:10, and when Pharaoh drew near, or drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Are you in their shoes yet? The Egyptians marched after them. Let's understand just a little bit more the circumstances of their situation, the reality of their situation. The Egyptians marched after them. This was a military force. These escapees from Egypt had not yet developed any kind of military. They didn't have anything to fight. Any instruments of war? Nothing. And the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Wow. I can feel it, can you? We learned that they were between a rock and a hard place. They had cliffs on one side and water on the other side, and they had a military might coming in behind them. There was a really, really difficult place here. Death was inevitable. They didn't want to die. They wanted to go on to Canaan land. They wanted to enjoy the blessing that God had promised them. But now it was going. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear ye not. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I don't know if that speaks to you this morning or not, but that should speak to every Christian that God will be near when he leads, when he's guiding, when we're following him, no matter what it looks like, no matter how the circumstances may play out, God is there to provide us with a message, fear not. We see it all through the scriptures. Over and over again, the message is the same from our Heavenly Father, fear not. We can go to 1 Kings chapter 17. And again, can you put yourself in the shoes of these individuals here? Verse 12 of chapter 17, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Life was hard. She was at the end. She didn't feel like there was any hope for anything beyond. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Fear not, but do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." He supplies in the midst of need. Need. In the midst of need, he provides. He says, "Fear not, even though the need may be pressing in upon us, even though the need may be glaring us in the face, and we feel like there is no hope." He's saying, "Fear not." What about 2 Kings chapter 6? I like this story. There's a chorus that we used to sing a lot, and maybe we still sing occasionally, that comes from this particular story. In verse number 15, "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Are you with this one? Elisha, his servant, surrounded by horses and chariots. They were coming after Elisha. They were going to kill Elisha. And his servant was struck with fear. He was paralyzed with fear. What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this one now, Elisha? Elisha answered him and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Elisha and his servant. There's more with us, Elisha. Come on. Even when we can't see God, he's still there in the shadows. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The worst case of peril, God still gives us the message of fear not. Isaiah records for us in Isaiah 43 that even in the midst of trial, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, neither will the flame kindle upon thee. What is it? That is the promise that in the midst of our trial, that He is there to be a companion to us, even in the midst of that hardship or that trial problem thing that takes place, whether it's the flooding of the waters or the burning of the fire, some kind of peril. He's saying, fear not, for I know who you are. I know you by name. We have a good picture of it in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Even the heathen king recognized the companion. Did those three Hebrew boys, as we know them, have any understanding that God would walk with them in the midst of that fire? It doesn't really give us any indication that He would, or that they did. They said, our God can deliver us from it, or He will help them in the midst of it, but no matter what happens, whether they live without it or die in it, they were going to serve God. But we find that even through the fire, God was in their midst. He was in companionship in their trial. We come over into the New Testament to the words of Christ. Jesus carries that same message from the Heavenly Father that the Old Testament carried through it in its entirety. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, fear not them which kill the body. Excuse me, Lord. I don't want to die that way. No, he's saying fear. Don't fear them that can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear them that is able to destroy both soul, or fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Can I paraphrase that in some completely different words? Get our priorities right. That's in essence what he's saying. Don't fear what happens around us. There's an eternal destiny. There's something that is going on, that is taking place, that is leading us to some other world. There's another country. Get focused on that. No matter what happens here, don't fear what happens on this side. Then he goes on to explain in that same passage, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What is he saying there? He's saying there in that passage, Jesus is telling his followers, he's telling us, that there's overwhelming care. There is a covering, an overshadowing care. Billy Graham addressed the people of the United States a day or two after 9/11, 20 years ago. These are his words to a nation that was paralyzed with fear. He said, yes, our nation has been attacked, buildings destroyed, lives lost. But now we have a choice. Whether to implode and disintegrate emotionally and spiritually as a people and a nation, or whether we choose to become stronger through all of this struggle to rebuild on a solid foundation. Listen to the words of Billy Graham addressing a hurting nation. That foundation is our trust in God. That foundation is our trust in God. And in that faith, we have the strength to endure something as difficult and horrendous as what we've experienced this week. We've seen so much that brings tears to our eyes and makes us all feel a sense of anger. But God can be, he's speaking to a hurting people of a hurting nation. He said that God can be trusted even when life seems at its lowest. God can be trusted even when life seems to be at its lowest. What did he hit it hard on the nail right there? A nation at its lowest, and he was giving admonition to trust in God. Not to fear the circumstances, but to trust. That brings me back to the psalm that I looked at the very beginning of the service. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. From the end of the earth, I call to you when my heart is faint. When my heart is faint, or my heart is overwhelmed, you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. We can trust him. We can trust him. And when fear comes, the response is for the follower of God, for the believer, the disciple of Christ, the response to fear is that I can trust in him no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way. We find that God is always there in the midst of these horrible circumstances of history. He's always in the midst, and he gives strength and help to those that will trust in him. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Would you stand with me this morning? David wrote those words, King David, of Psalm 61, and you and I know that David suffered a great deal. Perhaps he even wrote those words from exile. He knew what suffering was. I'm sure that there were times that he experienced fear, but his heart cried out, Lord, you are my refuge, you are my fortress, you are my rock. We can trust in him. Billy Graham said it so well, that our faith, our trust in God is our firm foundation. If you don't have that foundation this morning, you can. If you haven't received that gift of grace that makes all things well in your spiritual life, in your heart, ready for heaven, you can. Because his grace aboundeth more. His grace aboundeth more. Praise God. Don't forget our services this evening. Looking forward to be back together again this evening. Praise God. Jonathan, would you dismiss us with prayer?